Blog Talk Radio.
Each day, getting up, getting ready, doing daily tasks and running into the unexpected. Feelings of safety and security are common when there are more normal days versus traumatic ones. When do you miss everyday life? When it changes. This change may happen without warning. In an instant, your way of life is no more. Or not right now. Your car accident concerns may be the most important daily issues at hand now. So let's talk about you and your car accidents today here on Estro's Radio Show. Welcome and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. This May 25th, 2013, this is your car accident show, sharing information and concerns that help you, your family, friends, and community. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you from Seattle, Washington. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations are up for discussion. Dial 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385 right now to participate in today's broadcast. Someone injured just like you, wanting to hear your stories about being in a car accident, or wanting to hear your stories. If calling after the show, dial 206-203-4686 to provide your comments or tweets at Estra's Radio Show. Personally, firsthand, I know your situation. I've dealt with insurance companies such as USAA, GEICO, PIMCO, Progressive, Farmers, Allstate, The Hartford, Premier Blue Cross, United Healthcare, Medicare, LifeWise Assurance Company, Social Security, and employer SNC-Lavalin Constructors, previously known as Enron. This weekend, many will be reflecting on their loved ones who passed away. A myriad of emotions are invoked during holidays. Many military families will be participating in special services and memories of their loved ones, while others will place flowers on the resting places. Some of us will enjoy having just another day off from work. However celebrated, remember the good memories and choose to celebrate life. Now for our personal injury in the news this week. These are my views on current events and have no association with the writers of the article. From time to time, I'll be stopping to take a moment to comment. Our first article comes from the New York Times, and the title is Washington State Bridge Collapse Could Echo Far Beyond Interstate. And it's by Kurt Johnson and John Swartz, contributing reporting. And it's actually up in Mount Vernon, which is north of Seattle. I'm a Washingtonian, so I know this area pretty well. It's about 45 minutes, and it's a road that's traveled quite a bit, especially on Memorial Weekend. You have people coming from Canada down into the United States, and you have people from the United States going up to Canada for a three-day weekend. So I just cannot imagine the frustration that's going to be trying to get back and forth between these two places. But I'm going to go into the article now. Quote, the partial collapse here on Thursday night of a heavily used river bridge on Interstate 5 caused no deaths, but as the long holiday weekend began, it underscored the vulnerability of transportation systems that hinges not just on high-profile water crossings and tunnels, but on thousands of ordinary and unremarked components that travelers mostly take for granted. I want to stop here for just a moment. And the reason, in my opinion, that people were able to take this for granted in the past is because we had a working Congress. And to me, in my opinion, this Congress, many of the people put their own interests or corporate interests above public interest. President Obama has been talking about our infrastructure for a couple years and trying to get Congress to approve funding for it, knowing that we have over 60,000 plus bridges in the United States that are in similar conditions, or a little worse or a little better. But the fact of the matter is, people have died already because of bridges falling. It's going to happen in the future even more often with all of these bridges. and our resources could be so much better used than actually 38 times bringing back up trying to get over Obamacare. That's not a good use of our resources. In my opinion, this Congress, the 112th and 113th Congress, have not operated in the best interest of the public. So my question to you is, then why are they there? They're not there for us, so if they're there for corporate interests, then maybe they should just be working for corporations and not in public office. We need people there who are going to be able to look after these type of things so we don't have to be concerned with it. Okay, I'm going to go back into the article because I could go on quite a while about that. Quote, 160-foot section of the 58-year-old four-lane steel truss bridge, which crosses the Skagit River about an hour north of Seattle, crumpled around 7 p.m., apparently after being struck by a truck carrying an oversized load, state officials said. Three people were injured, none of them seriously, when vehicles went into the river. I just have to stop and say something here. You know, that has to be scary. That has to be, I mean, you see this coming. I mean, that's the thing about accidents, is that you don't see them coming. You can't plan for it. You don't see it. You don't even know how you're going to be reacting a minute later. I'm going to go on. But the ripple effects of the collapse could be huge for commuters, freight haulers, residents, and businesses around the bridge on detour routes for politicians in Olympia, Washington's capital. Lawmakers have been loudly and publicly wrestling over the hundreds of millions of dollars in state money needed to replace another aging bridge over the Columbia River that separates Oregon and Washington for the south on Interstate 5 corridor. I need to stop here for just a moment. One thing I do enjoy about Washington State is that our politicians do seem to be working together. And although there's some, we've got more toll bridges now than we used to have, and in my opinion, it's kind of biased where they place them. I think it takes away from the average person being able to get to work in a shorter period of time, and those with wealth are able to actually go and come and go as they please without any impact on their personal life. So I have some issues with the way in which some of this has been placed on, but at least they are acknowledging the issues and trying to work on them, which in my opinion, I can't say Congress has done. Okay, I'm going to go on. Interstate 5 is the main north-south route from British Columbia to California, passing through both Seattle and Portland. Washington State's Department of Transportation has established detour routes through cities of Burlington and Mount Vernon, which are separated by Skagit River, but urge travelers to avoid the area if they can. More than 67,000 drivers cross the Skagit every day along the stretch of the interstate, according to the state. I have to stop here for just a moment. Can you imagine 67,000 drivers? The impact is going to be, until this is repaired, it's going to impact a lot of people's lives for a lot of different reasons, and not just individuals, but businesses too. And this is why if our Congress and our politicians don't take the time to look towards the future, and Congress has taken away so much of our resources, and it's just given it to Wall Street, as if Wall Street needs any more money. And now we're suffering because they've given our resources and placed them in places they don't need to be. To me, in my opinion, it's very problematic about this. But this also shows how car accidents are actually, you can be impacted by one person's decision. One person who hit this bridge has impacted 67,000 people's lives for every single day. That's a ripple effect that's staggering. We really all are connected, and we need to be able to stop and consider how this is impacting not just you when you get into your car each day, but how it's impacting our society, your community, your state, your country. Sometimes the ramifications, we're just not realized. We don't actually realize, though. All right, I'll try to stay in the article for a little bit longer this time. Quote, patience is going to be the watchword, said Governor Jay Inslee at a news conference here. Mr. Inslee, a Democrat, said that the state transportation officials were scouring the country looking for a temporary portable structure that might be brought in to span the river until the collapsed section can be replaced. But even if that happens, he said, the disruptions could last for weeks at least. Investigators from the National Transportation Safety Board also arrived Friday to begin an inquiry into the accident causes. The chairwoman, Deborah A. M. Hertzman, said an early priority was to interview witnesses, especially the driver of the vehicle carrying the load that struck the bridge. I'm going to have to stop here. And I guess I'm going to have to, this bridge, I guess with this particular article, in particular because it's Washington State, I know the areas in which we're talking about. It bothers me that they're talking about just the fact that they want to interview the drivers. My question would be to go back and say, why was not this bridge rebuilt? Where is the funding for our bridges? Why haven't we done something for this? I would start there, and I would think about not only for this one, but for the other 60,000 plus bridges we have all over the United States that are, just think about this, that's 60,000 plus waiting to happen accidents of people driving across them, not ever knowing. And in my opinion, we want to feel safe in our society. And it seems like every time Congress does not do their job, in my opinion, it makes things worse for us. So to me, it's really time for them to get on board, do their job, or go home, whichever one that they suit, whichever one works for them works for me. Do their job so that we can start being able to move our society forward and not have it so many people are in this constant stress or chaos mode because of the things that they should have been doing that they haven't been doing. Okay, I'm going to go on. Whether it should be considered reassuring or alarming about the state of the nation's infrastructure, the Skagit River Bridge had not been judged unsafe or structurally deficient, according to inspection records. And I'd have to ask, I have to stop here, I guess, just bear with me because I have a lot to say. I would ask then, if that was the case, what is the standard for a structurally deficient bridge? What is the standard? Is it acceptable standard for 2013? Or is it one that was for 1956 or 58? There's a big difference in what we're doing with the bridge today than what we did with the bridge before, and also the amount of traffic on the bridge. Okay, I'm going to go on. The bridge and its approach lanes, totaling just over 1,000 feet, were only considered to be past their useful lifespan, meaning that the time had arrived for a bigger, broader structure. So there we go there. We know that it's obsolete. We know that for the actual traffic of 67,000 people a day, we needed something more. Okay. But even calling the bridge structurally deficient does not necessarily mean that it is unsafe. As federal officials often point out, it only means that at least one major component has deteriorated, and actions may be taken to address the issues, like restricting traffic to ensure that the bridge is not stressed beyond its limits. Well, this is me here. In my opinion, we see this in this particular case, this bridge was stretched beyond its limits, because I'm sure that truck that hit it, the capacity that it was carrying or how it was designed is nothing even close to what it was in the 50s. So there's no way that they could have prepared for what we're doing today. Just as today, we cannot be prepared of what we're doing tomorrow. We can guess, and we should also be able to plan in advance so that when we do get to those points, we've actually got plans in place to resolve those issues before, of course, it becomes a crisis. And that's my issue with Congress. They have procrastinated, delayed, moved money that they shouldn't have to so many different locations that we have so many crises that seem to go on a regular basis that most people have difficulty just getting on with their life because they don't have that security that our government officials are doing their job. Okay, I'm going on. Let's see, where was I? Okay, obviously this is a bridge that had lived a very long life, Ms. Hertzman said, but she added, based on performance and inspection records, it had been healthy throughout that life. And I'm actually going to, you can go out, it's a New York Times article. I'm going to just stop there because I think I could probably take each one of these sentences and or paragraphs and go on for quite some time. And before I know it, our time would be up. So unfortunately, I'm going to kind of wrap it up there, maybe make a couple comments here, but Know that it's out there on Estra's Blog Tips at Facebook, and you can go out there and get the link for it and go out to New York Times and read it in its entirety. So, you know, accidents can happen in some way or in many different ways. And here's an example of an ordinary day becoming unordinary for three drivers. Daily, many drivers use this bridge to and from home. Yet, last Thursday, March 23rd, 2013, was probably not a good time to be on that particular bridge. And that's the question. There's other 60,000 plus bridges, and you don't want to be on those bridges when they fail. But we don't know when that's going to be. So taking care of infrastructure is important, and Congress should realize this is more important than their politics. It's playing with everyone's life because we don't know which one will be impacted by their unwillingness to fund it. However, they are able to pass poor legislation that will allow banks to create the same disaster we actually bailed them out of less than 6 years ago. I'll have to stop here. I don't know if you know that, by the way. Congress actually passed legislation so banks are still able to go in and gamble the same way they did before with our money and blow it, and I don't know who's going to bail them out because they've taken all the money. But anyway, if they're able to go in there and slip in that kind of legislation, they should be able to go in there and immediately pass that bill for infrastructure so that they're not putting us in any more harm than they already have. And we are actually still suffering from the actions of them bailing out the banks. So please do your part and vote in 214. With you doing your part, our country will continue to be, if you don't do your part, our country will be in a world of hurt. And it is really up to you. They obviously will not be accountable unless you vote. So make sure to vote in 214 and make sure to go out and take a look at this New York Times article because I think you'll find it interesting. Yes, I definitely had a lot to say regarding the bridge collapse in Washington State. I probably could have spent the whole hour just talking about that one article. But our second personal injury in the news comes from OregonLive.com, and the title is Betsy Johnson Makes First Appearance in Oregon State Senate Since Car Accident, and it's by Christian Gaston. Quote, Senator Betsy Johnson returned to the floor of the Oregon legislature Monday for the first time since she was injured in an April car accident, but she's not yet back for good. The Scalpus Democrat said she is still recovering from surgery to treat her broken pelvis and came to the Capitol for a trial run using a manual wheelchair. Monday's visit was the second for Johnson since her accident. On Friday, she spent a couple hours in the Capitol, but Monday was her first on the Senate floor for a vote. It's unclear when she will be able to return to the legislature permanently, Johnson said. She is still undergoing physical therapy and hasn't quite been cleared for release by her doctors. Since Johnson's accident, Senate President Peter Kurznick, Democrat in Salem, has been filling in for her during some sessions of the three budget committee she serves on, and Johnson has been participating in some sessions by phone. But Courtney can't fill in for Johnson on the Senate floor, where her absence leaves Democrats one vote short of the ability to pass legislation without Republican help. That creates a mild scheduling headache for Senate Democrats, and Johnson said. Getting to the floor for a vote will be her top priority once she's cleared for return. I'm going to make it to the floor, Johnson says, end quote. And that's one thing I wanted to say is to be encouraged after a car accident and be determined to make it your way back. And it's nice when you actually have people who are working, coworkers that are supportive of you and being able to get back and make a few concessions to make sure you're able to do what needs to get done. Because frankly, no one knows when they're going to be in your shoes if you've been in a car accident. In fact, most people are typically have a car accident once every 5 years. So consider yourself extremely lucky if you haven't had one. So, and I think it's also great that she has great health care. And I just really am glad that Obamacare is coming in 214. In fact, I believe California is already registering in October for it. So make sure you check, especially if you don't have insurance, to be able to be a part of the program and be able to pay at a rate that you can afford, because it should be something that is not just a privilege but a right for all citizens. And it's great that Senator Johnson's actually getting time to heal, and she's got a balance going of being able to actually heal and still be a part of work, which is fantastic. So know that you can regain your footing after a car accident. Be relentless. Continue to do everything you can to move forward. And remember, last week I talked about it. It's improvement upon improvement. It's just a work in progress. So if you stay positive, keep looking for ways to get better. Do what you can, and know that it will happen. If you don't give up, you'll be great. And I hope that Senator Johnson will also consider helping with ERISA reform, because too many people in car accidents have to go through group insurance policies at work, and those policies are actually set to be, in my opinion, for the employer, and there are so many people out there that are suffering just because of, to me, the unfair practices of ERISA reform. So I hope that we can actually, maybe this car accident, and perhaps she's run into some people who've not been as fortunate as she has been, and be willing to help us out on that. That would be great. Thank you for being a part of today's show. Now for my commentary on you and your car accident. Most people are initially in shock at the scene of a car accident. It comes out of nowhere. They weren't anticipating it. In fact, many don't even see it coming. Once they get over the shock, they begin to be concerned about their home and work life, whether they'll even have a job, whether their home life, the support that they need, whether they'll be there. And most importantly, people begin to worry about their income. Wage loss poses some very serious problems, since most people are only one paycheck away from being in serious problems. In fact, most people are in so much debt that even with that paycheck, there's usually a lot of problems. And most importantly, can you really trust the wage loss, disability, or other options that you've had in place to pay when you need them, like after a car accident? Unfortunately, there's no guarantees about that, and some will pay for a small period of time, or you know, a few months, a few weeks, a year or so, depending on the policies you might have in place. But what happens if you're really injured and you go out long term? What can you expect? What can you do? This is the mission of Estra's blog, radio, TV, and book. And it is to provide you with the wisdom, knowledge, and support after a car collision, because when you're out there and you're seeking information, you're trying to find all these different concerns, it's nice where you can go to a single place and say, okay, I'm looking for information regarding attorneys, or I'm looking for medical experiences, or I'm looking for dealing with insurance companies, auto insurance companies, disability companies. It's important to be able to find what you need. And when you're not feeling well, if you are looking for something and you can find it easier, that's saving some of your strength to actually deal with other things in your day, which when injured or sick means a lot. Time and energy are like a valuable commodity. Normally, when you're actually injured or sick, it becomes even more important, because usually you have less of those to work with. And also, it's a stressful time, and it's hard to know where to turn. And that's why Estra's blog, radio, TV, and books are available for you, to help you through the experience, to learn how to cope from an injured person's perspective. And hopefully it may help speed up the process of getting you informed and prepared, so that when questions and concerns come up, you'll have read about it, or you'll have watched the video and know a little bit more, and you'll have the questions to ask or the information that you need to find in order to make better decisions. And that's really what it's about when you're in a car accident. The information is here to help you to make your life after a car accident less hectic and more informed, which means that you make the best decisions that you can about being in a car accident and your life going forward, because it's very important to know exactly what your condition is, what the probabilities are of you going back to work or being able to work, or where you are, or creating a new life for yourself. There's so many ways after a car accident your life can go, and you need to be prepared for that. And the less stress and the more information that you have, the better you'll able to self-care for yourself. So if you're in a car accident, know, just like Senator Johnson, that you have hope of getting back to your old life or starting a new one. Whichever way the path or the journey that you're on takes you, just know that Estra's blog, TV, and radio, and book called Talking About, I'm sorry, that's the radio show. The book is called Car Accident by Estra, and it's available at all major bookstores. In fact, make sure that you keep a copy of it in your car, because it has a checklist in the back of it, so that if you get in a car accident, a lot of times it's really stressful, or you're not really thinking about what you need to do, you can pull out the checklist and start getting the information, so that when you need to go back, you'll be able to have it, and you'll say, this is the information I got at the scene. And also coming out this year is a workbook to go along with that, in which you can actually be able to keep all your documentation together, so that you don't have to go around fishing for things and trying to figure out where it goes. It's just a nice place where if you're trying to get a complete view as to what's going on as you're going through it, it'll be easier for you to be able to see. Remember that you are the most important person in that equation. Again, comments on the articles reviewed today are my opinion and have no association with the writers. From time to time, I'll be stopping and commenting on a section. Today, we're just going to actually look through some of the facts about our behaviors as drivers. We're going to take those facts from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and we're going to talk about just general drivers, teen drivers, things that happen to children, motorcyclists, so that you kind of get a feel for what's really going on out there. And that these are not just numbers. Remember, there are people behind these numbers, and the people behind it could be you. So make sure that you get an understanding of the behaviors and things that can happen out there while driving, yet enjoy driving. It can be a nice, relaxing thing to do. Okay, quote, motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death for U.S. teens. In 2010, 17 ages 16 and 19 die every day from motor vehicle injuries. Per mile driven, teen drivers ages 16 to 19 are 3 times more likely than drivers age 20 and older to be in a fatal crash. Fortunately, teen motor vehicle crashes are preventable, and proven strategies can improve safety of young drivers on the road. And that's important to know that there. And I really give the Department of Transportation kudos for this, because they took time to take a look and say, okay, these are the things that are happening. And so a lot of times now in a lot of states, they have a lot of rules for teenagers to follow in hopes of reducing the number of fatalities that happen to teenagers. Okay, I'm going to go on. How big is the problem? In 2010, about 2,700 teens in the United States ages 16 to 19 were killed, and almost 282,000 were treated and released from emergency departments for injuries suffered from a motor vehicle crash. Young people ages 15 to 24 represent only 14% of the U.S. population. However, they account for 30%, that's $19 billion, of the total cost of motor vehicle injuries. And males, it's 28%, or $7 billion of the total cost. So that means the males are doing quite a bit of maybe fast driving, I don't know. Okay, in 2010, the motor vehicle death rate for male drivers and passengers ages 16 to 19 was almost 2 times that of the female counterparts. So that tells you something about driving. You might want to tell your young men to slow down and relax. All that, you know, that progesterone sometimes kind of maybe gets them going, but you just want them to be here, and it's really tragic to have to lose a child to a vehicle accident. So, but it goes on and it tells you a great deal about teenagers. And it says teens driving with passengers. It says the presence of teen passengers increased the crash risk of unsupervised teen drivers. This risk increases with the number of teen passengers. So knowing that, make sure that you, when your kids, in my opinion, if it were my kids, when they start driving, that they actually drive, they don't have passengers. They learn how to to get comfortable with driving just by themselves. It says, newly licensed teens, crash risk is particularly high during the first month of license. So make sure that, you know, if it were my kid, I'd say, oh, no, the first 3 months, no, you're on your own. You're going to have to just drive by yourself so you can get that down. And then it says, what other factors put teens at risk? It says, teens are more likely than older drivers to underestimate dangerous situations or not be able to recognize hazardous situations. And we know even in life, commonly that happens with the more experience you have, the more knowledge you have, the better the outcomes. And that's how come Esther's blog, TV, radio show, and books are there to help with that. Teens are more likely than other drivers to speed and allow shorter headways. The presence of male teenage passengers increase the likelihood of this risky behavior. So teenage boys showing off while driving is not an option until you get a little bit more experience under your belt, and still use caution then. So there's a lot of stuff out here that parents of teenagers might want to actually go out and take a look at. To me, it's really important. Let's see here. Compared with all other age groups, teens have the lowest rate of seatbelt use. So that's another thing you might want to tell your kids. Hey, you take off in this car, your seatbelt is fashioned. You have people in the car, their seatbelt is fashioned, and that is not negotiable. At all levels of blood alcohol concentration, which is known as BAC, the risk of involvement in a motor vehicle crash is greater for teens than for older drivers. So drinking and driving for teens is out of the question. They want to drink, if you allow them or you don't allow them, they still do it. They don't get in a car, they call you, you go pick them up. Very simple. Or they just stay until they sober up, or whoever's driving sober up. You don't want to have to get that call at 2:00 in the morning saying, you know, your child's been involved in a car accident. In 2010, 22% of drivers aged 15 to 20 involved in fatal motor vehicle crashes were drinking. I'm not glad it's 22%, but 0% would be better, but I'm glad it's not a lot higher than that. So it says, when parents know that their states, it's called graduated driver's license system, which is that are designed to delay full licensures to allowing teenagers to get their initial driving experience under low-risk conditions. And that's kudos to you, Department of Transportation, or Department of Licensing in Washington State. It's just so important to give people the tools that they need to complete a task favorably. And that's, you know, it's with driving, it's with work, it's with education, it's with most things in life. If you give people the tools, the information that they need to do a task, then generally most people do it pretty well. So let me see if I can get a few of these other ones here. It says state alcohol impaired driving estimates, and that's, you know, on Memorial Weekend where drinking and fun is increased, perhaps to reduce the painful memories of loved ones or just having a lot of fun with family and friends, a caution of drinking and driving should be used, because in our time, it's crazy enough with all the things happening. One does not need to add more risk to the equation. We'll go ahead and highlight a few more things here. It says the fact sheet estimates of alcohol or driving alcohol involvement in fatal crashes for the United States and individually for 50 states is what some of these statistics show that we're going to actually look at here for a moment. Let's see what we have here. I'm going down. It's just talking and giving a bit of facts. Excuse me. Let's see. Great caution should be exercised in comparing the levels of alcohol involvement among states. Differences in alcohol involvement can be due to any number of factors, not necessarily directly related to state alcohol traffic safety programs. Factors affecting alcohol involvement in fatal crashes include population demographics and economic environment, and the type of vehicles. Motorcycle riders tend to exhibit the highest level of alcohol involvement, followed by drivers of light trucks. Drivers of large trucks tend to exhibit the lowest level of alcohol involvement. I personally, in my opinion, believe that drinking, you have MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. I mean, that organization was created for a reason. You know, there's nothing more tragic than losing a child, and I'm sure that it would make you pretty darn mad for somebody drunk to end the life of your child. So have fun. Enjoy yourself this weekend. It's Memorial Day. It's nice to build pleasant memories on top of memories that may not be as maybe more painful than one desires. But remember through it all just to keep safe and have fun, and more importantly, just drink responsibility. Well, my time, unfortunately, has gone away. I wish I had more time. I've always enjoyed being here with you. Make sure that you come back next Saturday so we can actually continue our conversation. I want to thank Audacity, InternetArchive.org, Force M, Ira Newborn, David Sky Merchant, Will Nine Softcore, Instrumental One, Mary Ben Ari, David Rees, Dotka, David Dubofsky, and Vanessa May for their music, and the CDC for making our time more interesting. Tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Have a great Memorial weekend. Remember, it's up to you. Drive safely. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of free speech has allowed Estra's radio show and her opinions, in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Estra is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing at P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington 98168. Thank you.